Lori Natero is a self-proclaimed idiot girl. Her collected essays have made her a best-selling author with a huge following. Her latest book is called An Idiot Girl's Christmas, True Tales from the Top of the Naughty List. For Natero, the holidays are about family, for better or worse. But at least it gives her lots of good writing material.
Any time that you add stress and money and family together, that's just, I'm surprised that doesn't create like its own kind of atom bomb, you know? Things can just go off and fly off in different directions, and it's a lethal combination. It's kind of like drinking on Prozac.
Well, one of the stories that I really did enjoy in An Idiot Girl's Christmas was about your mother's new Christmas tree, which I gather turned out to be something of a surprise to you.
Yeah, it was a major surprise. For years, since I was a kid, we've had the same Christmas tree that you kind of assembled with, you know, A fits into B, and it took 3 hours to put up. And on Christmas, we arrived at my mother's house with a foreign tree that had no resemblance to our own regular tree. In fact, this tree kind of, it glowed like a neon sign, kind of like Buddy's drive-through, and it would switch from yellow to red to green. And it was this tree that she had bought in the last 4 seconds that it was available on QVC. And she considered herself very lucky. She'd only burned herself once on it. And it just emitted this kind of radiation, which was crazy. It heated up the whole room. And it was good to try a change like that, but it was the wrong kind of change, I think, for our family. No one really took to it very well.
So you really wanted that old tree, but it doesn't sound as though your affection for the old tree was really all that firm. What was it about it that you and your siblings wanted? Was it just the tradition?
Basically, it was the old tree, I think, symbolized so much of our family. You know, we had all of these ornaments that we had created since I was in kindergarten, and my sisters, I have two sisters, and they had made ornaments throughout the years. And then we arrive and there's this new, like, 21st century tree. And my mother's reaction to it was, well, if you want all those bug-infested, disgusting, you know, disintegrating ornaments, you can go stick them on your own tree. And instead, she had all these fancy new ornaments on it, and it just kind of wiped away our Christmas holiday. Almost our history was kind of gone, in a way, replaced by this new invented kind of newfangled tree of a family that doesn't really exist.
So what happened? Whose view prevailed?
Well, I kind of, you know, I don't have the cooler head in my family, so I was arguing with my mother about, you know, I want you to bring the tree back. And she was like, there's, you know, the old tree is disgusting. It's all broken and it stings people. And I like this tree. I am actually a clear lights person tree. And I've only had multicolored lights because you kids wanted them. She had inhibited her own Christmas tree self, and her true Christmas tree self was now apparently coming out in this glowing neon kind of tree. And so my sister stepped forward and said, you know what? I have a magnificent tree. My tree has nothing but Lennox crystal on it, and I'm a clear lights person too. And that's the tree that I have in my living room. But I also love my family, and all of my bug-infested ornaments that my kids have made are on a separate tree in the family room, which is our family tree. And so that was a very good compromise, and that was a way for my mom to kind of see that she didn't really need to erase our whole Christmas by presenting this new tree, that we could kind of have a little bit of both. And as it was, we were able to get rid of the new tree because it really made everybody sweat a lot because it generated so much heat. So the next year, we didn't get our old tree back, but we got a regular tree back, which was a much better substitute than the radiation poisoning neon tree.
Well, there are other stories, of course, that you tell about the Christmas season. The one that I'm still not sure I entirely understand is about the Christmas when you died. You did die, didn't you?
Well, unfortunately for my mother, I didn't die. My death was greatly exaggerated. What had happened, it was a Christmas Eve, and after we had our traditional Christmas Eve dinner, I left the house to go out with some friends. And I was young, in college, and we were just very interested in having a good time. So there was a little bit of drinking involved. And as we were going from one party to the next, I had put my purse on the hood of someone's car and got in and drove away. And when I went to go look for my purse about an hour later to pay the bill, my purse was gone. When I went back home, there was a note on our front door that said, "Lori, we know you don't have your purse, so just knock and we'll let you in." And it was from my parents. And I thought, how did they know that my purse was missing? And what had happened was, relatively shortly after I had driven away from one of the parties, there was a knock at my family's front door. And my mother answered it to find a uniformed policeman holding a purse in one hand and my driver's license in the other, and what she only heard him say was, "Run over." Now, she fell to the floor before she heard the rest of it, which was that only my purse was run over and that I was still somewhere out in the world. And he wasn't a uniformed police officer. He was a uniformed security guard from the apartment complex in which my purse had been run over. And it turned out he did, in fact, not only was he the hero, but he'd also mugged my purse and took the $10 out of it, I guess, as a self-imposed reward. So when I came back home, I was greeted with, the fantasy, like I said, I was in my early 20s. The fantasy of actually having died and seeing how my parents reacted was the greatest gift any teenage person could have ever wished for. And so my mother just, immediately said, "Now you've ruined Christmas. Christmas is completely ruined." And I was confused. I thought, well, was that because I died or was that because I'm alive? I wasn't really sure.
Well, your mother has to, you have to feel for her a little bit when a cop shows up on Christmas Eve with your daughter's purse in her hand.
Yeah, but her biggest talent is jumping to conclusions, so.
Yeah. There's another story that you tell in An Idiot Girl's Christmas. We've talked about Christmas trees and how important they are. And I gather that you have, in your own life, not always done the same thing with a Christmas tree that your mother would have done.
No. I never got a rainbow bright tree like she did. But, when you're young and first married, you're kind of busy and... I love my Christmas tree. I had this beautiful Christmas tree, and I put it up, and it looked lovely. And the day after Christmas, immediately, I was barraged with phone calls from my mother saying, "When are you going to take down that tree? Because trees spontaneously combust. They automatically catch on fire, and you don't have to be living in a trailer for that to happen." She just had this vision that trees would just automatically burst into flame because she had seen it once or twice on, Fox News or something. I wasn't ready to take down my tree, and I resisted, and I was like, "No, the tree it's still vibrant. It's still alive. Only a couple of needles dropping off." And this went on and on and on until the point where I let it go until March, partly because...
Until March?
Partly because I love the tree, but mainly because it drove my mother completely insane. And it gave her something to complain about, which I think that she really enjoys, especially if she could just, take Christmas and just milk it for like 3 more months. That was just such a prize for her. And
So how did the rest of the family feel about this?
Well, what she ended up doing was she would call the rest of the family and try to get them on her bandwagon, too. And that included calling my grandmother and saying, Lori's tree is going to burst into flame and she's going to die. So you better call her if you want her to live. And my poor grandmother would, call me and say, I'll be so mad if that tree kills you. Please take it down. Oh, that darn tree, My sister, on the other hand, was very happy because it took the spotlight away from her because my sister's dog had urinated in their home, and my mother became obsessed with that urine spot, and she would go to my sister's house and just stand over that spot and say, you're never going to sell this house now. You've got dirty carpet. No one in their right mind is ever going to buy a house with dirty carpet. And my sister said, I'm not planning on moving. I don't want to sell my house. We're fine where we are. But my mother said, my mother was like, no, people are nomadic. That's not the trend nowadays. People go from place to place. And someday soon, you're going to be selling this house. And only a dirty family will buy this house because of the stain. I'm going to have to pray for a dirty family. So that kind of took the spotlight away from my sister. So my sister was encouraging me, please, my dog peed on the carpet again. Would you please keep the tree up for as long as possible? So, eventually we did have to take down the tree because it was starting to, you know, my cat was getting needles in its paws and it was getting very crunchy and kind of dangerous. And I really was afraid to light a candle in that room. So eventually we did take it down. So we both kind of won. She won and I won. I kind of won in the long run, but ultimately my mother, we took the tree down. That was 7 years ago, so.
Lori Notero is a best-selling author. Her latest book of essays is called An Idiot Girl's Christmas.